Let me go ahead and call the council meeting to order. This is Monday, October 16th, 2006. We will begin with an invocation by Pastor Otley Holmes from the Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church, followed by a Pledge of Allegiance led by Councilmember Rex Griswold. Would you please stand for the invocation and remain standing for the pledge? Mr. Holmes.
Thank you, Mayor. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Eternal God, our Father, once again, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of coming together to conduct the business of this city. We pray now, O Father, for wisdom to conduct the business as it unfolds in our presence this evening. Lord, grant the wisdom upon each one of your servants here that as issues unfold, Father, to be able to glorify you in all that is said and done. Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Now we ask that you bless the city as only you can. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen.
Please place, face the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pastor Holmes, thank you very much. Appreciate that. The next item is the mayor's welcome. This is on a videotape, and it will explain how we conduct our council meetings. So if you want to watch the monitor, we'll go ahead and run the tape.
Welcome to the Mesa City Council meeting. Thank you for your interest and participation in the City of Mesa. At this time, please turn off or select the vibrate option on all cell phones or pagers while the meeting is in progress. If you would like to speak on any items, please fill out one of the blue cards located in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. You also may ask for an item to be removed from the consent agenda. Items on the consent agenda are read into the record and voted on in one motion. On zoning cases, comments from citizens are made after the applicant presents their case, and we ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes. At the end of tonight's meeting, under items from citizens present, there is an opportunity for 3 citizens to speak on any issue with a maximum of 3 minutes each. When the mayor calls your name, please step up to the podium, state your name, and address and make your comments. The timer on the wall to the right of the city council will keep track of your time. The City of Mesa operates under a council district system with the mayor elected at large. The mayor of Mesa is Keno Hawker, serving his second term. There are 6 districts in Mesa, and here are your elected council members. In District 1, Vice Mayor Claudia Walters represents Northwest Mesa. In District 2, Mike Whalen represents Central and South Central Mesa. In District 3, Tom Rawls represents Southwest Mesa. In District 4, Kyle Jones represents Downtown Mesa and the area south of downtown. In District 5, Rex Griswold represents Northeast Mesa. And in District 6, Scott Summers represents Southeast Mesa. Information about your council members in the City of Mesa is available online at www.cityofmesa.org. All city council meetings are broadcast live and then rebroadcast on Mesa Channel 11. To view the programming schedule, log on to MesaChannel11.com.
Okay, the important part of that is if we're about to read a consent agenda into the record, if you have an item that you came specifically to address and do not want it passed as a consent agenda item, make sure you fill out one of the blue cards and send it forward. Kim.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council approves the item, you will be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes from previous meetings as written. Item 3A, take action on liquor license for Brambley Hedge Rabbit Rescue for one-day charitable event. Item 3B, take action on liquor license for Chandler Compadres for a two-day charitable event. Item 3C, take action on transfer of beer and wine license for Villa del Sol Mexican Food, 1340 South Country Club Drive. Item 3D, take action on your restaurant license for Native New Yorker, 318 East Brown Road, Suite 112. Item 4A, take action on contract for high-speed communications rings equipment, $292,226.61. Item 4B, take action on contract for radio communications field equipment, $416,919.36. Item 4C, take action on three-year contract for landscape maintenance services, $296,166.98 annually. Item 4D, take action on contract for capnography field upgrade for cardiac monitors, $115,103.92. Item 4E, take action on contract for Dynex DSX enzyme system for DUI drug cases, $54,912. Item 4F, take action on contract for computer infrastructure, hardware, and software, $168,355.51. Item 4G, take action on contract for 50 police squad cars and emergency equipment, $1,507,887.13. Item 4H, take action on contract for 543 taser devices and accessories, $512,902.08. Item 4I, take action on six-month extension for supply contracts for tires, $180,000. Item 4J, take action on contract for sewer line video inspection, $70,510. Item 5A, introduce ordinance for November 6, amending Mesa City Code pertaining to country stores. Item 5B, introduce ordinance for November 6, amending Mesa City Code pertaining to building permit applications. Item 5C, introduce ordinance for November 6, amending Mesa City Code pertaining to building permit applications. Item 5D, introduce ordinance for November 6, amending Mesa City Code pertaining to redevelopment of properties. Item 5E, introduce ordinance for November 6, annexation case A06-16, annexing southwest quarter of Thomas and Val Vista Drive. This item has been continued to the November 6 City Council meeting. Item 5F, introduce ordinance for November 6, zoning case 06-70, 7932 East Broadway Road for a rezone. Item 5G, introduce ordinance for November 6, zoning case 06-71, 8222 East Broadway Road for a rezone. Item 5H has been deleted. Item 5I, introduce ordinance for November 6, zoning case 06-73, 3400 North Val Vista Drive for a rezone. This item has been continued to the November 6 City Council meeting. Item 5J, introduce ordinance for November 6, zoning case Z06-74, 8200 East Germain Road for an RV/mini storage facility. Item 5K, introduce ordinance for November 6, amending Mesa City Code pertaining to Council Finance Committee. Item 5L, introduce ordinance for November 6, amending Mesa City Code to establish the Council-appointed City Auditor. Item 6A has been removed from the consent agenda. Item 6B has been removed from the consent agenda. Item 6C, take action on resolution to adopt an alignment for the planned Williams Gateway Freeway. Item 6D has been deleted. Item 8B, take action on ordinance annexation case A06-10, annexing land located on Broadway Road east of Prisman Road. This item was continued from the October 3rd City Council meeting and has been continued to the November 6th City Council meeting. Item 8C, take action on ordinance zoning case Z06-63, 310 North Alma School Road for a daycare center. This item has been continued to the November 6th City Council meeting. Item 8D, take action on ordinance zoning case Z06-64, 7000 East Baseline Road for retail office buildings. Item 8E, take action on ordinance zoning case Z06-65, 6900 South 89th Place for office warehouse buildings. Item 8F, take action on ordinance zoning case Z06-66, 7000 East Guadalupe Road for residential community. Item 8G, take action on ordinance zoning case Z06-67, 231 North Alma School Road for a rezone. Item 9A, take action on subdivision plat, Amberwind Plaza Condominiums, 4200 East Brown Road. Item 9B, take action on subdivision plat, Waldo Estates, 1026 West 8th Street. Mayor and council members, these were the items on the consent agenda.
Are there any requests to remove any items that were read into the
Mayor, do not have any requests to remove any agenda items as read.
Okay. Entertain a motion then for the consent agenda. Motion by Councilmember Walters, seconded by Councilmember Summers for approval. Would you please vote? The vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes, so the consent agenda does pass. Next item would be on page 8, if you're following along on the agendas, and it is item number 6A. This is taking action on the following resolutions. This is a resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to execute an agreement to the transit service, to the transit service agreement between the City of Mesa and the Regional Public Transportation Authority. This agreement will extend Sunday and holiday service for Americans with disabilities and eligible, and it extends the act for eligible customers from November 7th, 2006 to June 30th, 2007. Mesa estimated share to extend the service is $100,384, and LTAF 2 funds would be used for this action. And I believe this was, do we have any requests to speak on this item, first of all?
We have none, Mayor.
Okay. Somebody want to put in a motion? I have a motion and second for approval. Councilmember Rawls.
Mayor, I had this pulled from the consent agenda for two reasons. First of all, when we did our budget back in, the preliminary budget back before the election in May, we identified things that were going to be cut. And if the property tax didn't pass or if the sales tax didn't pass, the senior dial a ride in its entirety was one of the things that we said will be cut if the property tax does not pass. When we started, after the property tax didn't pass, we started to have some discussions about changes to that budget, and there was vigorous resistance from this council to change what we said we would do. Well, we now are changing what we said we would do. We're putting $100,000 back in the budget for a portion of that senior dial-a-ride. Now it's only limited to ADA dial-a-ride customers, but we are in fact adding $100,000 back to the budget after we have, in several discussions, had many people on this council say, this is what we told the people of Mesa we were going to do, and we're not going to change our mind. We're not going to go back. We talked about things like school resource officers. People said, no. This is what we told people we were going to do. We have to stick to it. Well, tonight, we're not sticking to it. Now, you can say that there's all sorts of good reasons, but the fact is we're not sticking to it. The second reason why I oppose this is based upon some of the comments that were made back when we addressed this specific issue back in, I want to say it was late June or July, where people were saying that if we don't fund Sunday dial-a-ride, ADA or otherwise, we are violating their constitutional right to be for freedom of religion. And that is nonsense. The United States Constitution prohibits government from interfering with people's exercise of their religion. It does not require the government to provide the dollars necessary to have you go to your church of choice at any particular time. So for those two reasons, I will be voting no on this item, Mayor.
Okay. I'm going to be supporting the motion that's on the floor for a couple of other reasons. The LTAF money was lottery money that was identified basically after that budget was rolled up. We thought some was coming in, but we didn't know how much. And it's restricted to be used for transportation purposes. So because of that, I think this is probably one of the better transportation purposes that we could use it for. So I will be supporting the motion. Other comments? Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. And in fact, the transportation purposes are transit purposes. So it has to be used for buses or for operation of buses or things like that. So it is additional money that came in. It was July 3rd. I think I identified it as July 5th. It was July 3rd when we had the meeting. I recall I was on the phone for, I think, was it 12 hours? That it just seemed like it. It was a very, very long time I called in for that meeting. And it was a very, it was very difficult. And you're right, Tom, we have not gone back on that. The thing that has made this a little different for me is the fact that the LTAF $2 came in a little higher than we had thought. And because they have a very specific purpose for which they are designated for use, I'm supporting moving ahead with this.
Other comments? Councilmember Summers.
Thank you, Mayor. I've been very supportive of continuing a dial-a-ride service for our ADA folks since we made this cut. I disagree that we're going back on our word. This council did cut senior dial-a-ride. Senior dial-a-ride is gone. There are no, there, and there, with this vote, there still will not be senior dial-a-ride on Sundays and holidays. It's gone. What this does is it wipes clean an unintended consequence of that action, which was to limit transportation options available to our ADA customers. That was, in my opinion, not the intent. It certainly wasn't the intent of my vote. This money, whether it comes from a grant, which we were hoping to get, and unfortunately we didn't get, we would still be continuing the service. If we had gotten that grant, we would be continuing the service on Sundays and holidays. We didn't get the grant. Instead, what we have are more LTAF II monies than we had anticipated. Those monies, as has been articulated already, have to be spent on transportation issues. I cannot think of a better way to spend them than ensuring that our most vulnerable citizens have transportation options when they need them. So because this was correcting an unintended consequences, because it's for our ADA folks, folks that need to get around and would be stranded on Sundays and holidays, I am in strong support of this. Thank you, Mayor.
I have a motion by Councilmember Walters, seconded by Councilmember Whalen. Any other discussion first? Okay, would you please vote? The vote is 6 ayes and 1 nay, with Councilmember Rawls voting nay, so it does pass. Next item is 6B. This is approving and authorizing the city manager to execute the airport development grant agreement. And this is number E7S26 between the Arizona Department of Transportation, Aeronautics Division, and the City of Mesa for the design and construction of a taxiway on the east side aeronautical use area at Falcon Field. The state has agreed to fund up to $270,000 for the project. The remaining local match will be funded with city funds. The total amount of the city's contribution will not exceed $30,000. The city's local match for the project will be funded from the Falcon Field Airport Capital Improvement Program funds that are currently in the budget. Councilmember Griswold.
I own a restaurant building on Falcon Field. This comes within 300 feet of it, so I will not vote or discuss this item.
Okay, are there any requests to speak on item 6B?
I have none, Mayor.
Okay. I have a motion by Councilmember Summers, seconded by Councilmember Whalen for approval. Is there any council discussion? Seeing none, would you please vote? The vote is 6 ayes and 1 abstention from Councilmember Griswold because of potential conflict, so it does pass. Next item is on page 9. This is item number 7. This is a project contract for construction of 50 bus stop mini shelters. This contract would authorize the construction of 50 bus stop mini shelters in an effort to increase the number of passenger shelters in Mesa. These mini shelters are smaller and less expensive than standard shelters, can be used in locations where right-of-way space is limited. Staff recommends approval to exercise a cooperative clause in a contract created by the City of Tempe, authorizing the city manager to execute a contract with LaCour Street Transit, Urban and Land Furnishings, and a contractor selected from an open bid process to install the 50 mini shelters. Funding is programmed in fiscal year 06-07 Transportation Capital Program. The total cost of these shelters is estimated to be $450,000. And will be funded from the Local Transportation Assistance Fund, which is the LTAF. $250,000 of the required 50% local match will come from the City of Mesa's Quality of Life funds. So that would be $225,000 from Quality of Life. Councilmember Rawls, you had a comment on this one.
I've been voting against the transit thing since I got here and intend to continue to do so.
Okay. Any other comments, or I'll entertain a motion? I have a motion by Councilmember Jones, seconded by Councilmember Walters for approval. Any other discussion? Would you please vote? The vote is 6 ayes and 1 nay, with Councilmember Rawls voting nay. Next item is number 8A. This is amending sections 11-1-6 and 11-2-6-2 of the Mesa City Code regarding non-chartered financial institutions, usually referred to as payday lenders. And I believe we have some requests to speak on this one. And this would establish a, is it 1,250-foot limit? What's the... There's a distance requirement. Staff want to... 1,200 feet? Okay. Okay, Mitzi Pierce. Followed by Nate Kane.
My name is Mitzi Pierce. I live at 1062 West 5th Street. 85201. An area filled with payday loan centers. I know that these were illegal establishments in 2000 until the state legislature passed a law making them legal. I don't know why or how that happened. I can't wait for them to sunset that law. In the meantime, please, please, at least the city can do something to try to stop the clustering of these things. I live close to the corner of Alma School and University, where no less than 4 of them sit on the same corner. This is ridiculous. I do not buy the argument, Mr. Rawls, that this is a matter of free market, that we're interfering with free enterprise. We have other businesses like tattoo parlors, body piercing shops, loan pawn shops, and we have restrictions on those things. I don't understand why this kind of business cannot likewise be restricted in the same way. I find them just as abhorrent as I would find to have a clustering of tattoo parlors in the same area near where I live. So I would please, please encourage you, do what the city can do, follow Tempe and Peoria's lead, and please at least restrict how many of these can be in the same area. Thank you very much.
Nate, followed by Judy Link.
I'm Nate Kane. I live at 1325 West Keats. That puts me in Councilman Rawls' district. Thank you. I've heard that eliminating the payday loans would be racist, and that doesn't ring true for me. I previously lived in Oceanside, California, which is where Camp Pendleton is, and we send Marines off to die in Iraq, but we don't pay them enough money, and consequently, their families are forced to use payday loans. So these are equal opportunity predatory lenders. They used to call them loan sharks. Payday loans are not good for our community. They sure don't care about the neighborhood they're in. They've got garish signage, unsafe lighting, and these permanently parked sign trucks all over the street. They don't care about their customers, or they wouldn't have such predatory rates. They don't care about their employees, or they would have better security and adequate staffing. All they care about is money, and they suck it straight out of the neighborhoods for points unknown. In fact, they've become a burden to the community. Beyond the visual blight, we pay for police service for loitering, assault, and robbery. After all, the gas can robbers chose payday loans because the cash was plentiful, readily available, and the security was lax. In the Dobson Ranch shooting, which is 1 mile from my house, which is on the map, the robbers were said to have specifically chosen the location because it was such an easy target. As you know, Tempe has recently implemented restrictions on payday loan stores. If Mesa fails to do something similar, I feel that West Mesa will be lined with even more payday loan stores as they jockey for position along the border to service Tempe. If you have a struggling mini mall, first you get payday loans, then a massage parlor, then a pawn shop, then a tattoo parlor, then a plasma clinic, then a liquor store, then an adult bookstore. And out back, you've got drugs and prostitution, and you get gang activity drawn in. In short, these places are magnets for trouble. Unfortunately, the city council has dragged its feet. In just the 2 years that I've lived here, the number of payday loans have doubled from 60 to about 110. My fear is if the council fails to act soon, even more payday loans will appear. Then, even if down the road you get your act together, we're going to have all these ones existing that have been grandfathered in. I urge you to act now. The proposal that is on the table is a reasonable regulation. It reins in the payday loans, but it's not overly restrictive. So I think you should adopt it as it's drafted. On the map here, we've got three payday loans. I'm sorry. This is Alma School, Baseline, and Dobson. Three payday loans here, two payday loans here with the massage and tattoo parlors. This is the payday loan that had the shootout. This payday loan was being constructed. There's another payday loan here, massage parlor, payday loan, massage parlor. I think this is Tom Rawls massage parlor. And, you know, why do they need six payday loans at one corner?
I need you to wrap it up.
Thank you.
Okay. That's it. Judy Link, followed by Bob DeFabrizio.
Good evening. I'm Judy Link, and I live at 445 North Yucca Circle in Mesa. I never thought I'd see the day when loan sharks would be operating as legitimate businesses. I've seen them in the movies, you know, people who would borrow money from the neighborhood loan shark, and when he couldn't pay it back, this big muscle-bound guy would come and break his legs. Well, the modern-day loan shark preys on our poorest citizens and breaks their spirit. I have listened to the horror stories of people who got caught up in their practices, and it's heartbreaking. Mesa needs to act now to stop more payday loans from opening. We can't wait until the November election for the state to act. We have 19, and my zip code, we all live in the same area. And I believe there's 110 in the city. Not only are they at every major intersection, they're on every corner. Pawn shops, tattoo shops, and body piercing establishments are required to obtain a council use permit, requiring them to maintain 1,200 feet distance from each other. Payday loans are as distasteful to me as a massage parlor, and I'm tired of seeing them everywhere. Tempe and Peoria already have restrictions in place. This is a small step, but a good step. We have to start somewhere. Let this be Mesa's first step in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Bob, followed by Amy Kersley.
I have to thank the City Council about 5 years ago. They did some prohibitive zoning against pawn shops. In the past, and being Board of Directors of Pawn Association, I came here and I talked about that with you people, and I fell on deaf ears, but that was okay, because after the law was passed, the price of my pawn shop went up probably five times, because you can't have a pawn shop in Mesa unless you meet the criterias. Same thing with these turkeys here, with these payday loans. You know, we've got 110 of them here. They have 40,000 loans out, according to the paper. Now, let's do some math here, okay? 110 into 40,000 comes out to $363. $20 a loan they make, two times a month they're paid. That's $14,500 min. Now let's look at the pie. This pie's not going to grow because they have restrictions on who they can loan to. Can't have ever bounced a check. You have to have a job for X amount of years. You let these people come in here and fill up every lousy, empty stall in this town, and their piece of the pie gets smaller. They're not going to be doing 363 loans. They're going to be doing 200. You're going to lose them. Let them come in. Let them do what they want, and they're going to go away. But hopefully the state legislature will kick them out when they should have, along with title loans, which are probably the worst loans in America. Horrible, horrible things. Somebody comes into my shop and says to me, Bob, I lost that saw. That saw, I lost that ring. I'm back to work. Take that saw down from the shelf. You borrowed $25. It was a $5 interest charge. We're going to charge you $35 and set it at a price that's on there. The ring, Yeah, the ring's marked $1,000. You only had a $250 loan on it. You're going to get that back for $300, or $250 plus two interest loans. And I have good customer relationships. And people who were children came in, are now adults, and their children lend with me. Because they know, even if they lose their goods, if it's still on the shelf, they're going to get it back. If they say, this drill I lost, Bob, and I take it, and it says, no, he didn't lose it, but he lost one the same model and serial number, I'll give him that drill. I want that man to come back. And most pawn shops will do it that way. Not these guys. They're going to wreck your credit. Couldn't care less. You haven't paid on your check? Let's see, you're a week late on your check. You know, we're going to have to send this to a collection agency and ruin your credit. They only take people with good credit. What happens to people with good credit when they get bad credit? They get goofy.
You'd wrap up.
Yep. You pass this thing, make it a 1,200 feet, you make those places worth more money. You don't make them worth less. You don't chase them away because they're already here. You have a nice day.
Thank you. Tammy.
Good evening, Mayor, Vice Mayor, Council members. My name is Tammy Persley. I am a long-term resident of Council District 3 and a candidate for State Representative for District 18. I am here tonight to support the proposed amendment, the proposed ordinance to address a significant problem in our community, payday loans. The number of payday loan stores in West Mesa has exploded over the past couple of years, and many of the residents I have spoken to are wondering why. Why is there one on every corner? They are concerned that it indicates that West Mesa is in decline. Mr. Mayor, last fall, you said you didn't want Mesa to become a dumping ground for payday loan stores. I agree. I don't want that either. I believe this proposed ordinance is one small step in stopping that from happening. Not only are these stores a visual blight in our community, but these predatory lenders thrive on exploiting West Mesa residents. The residents who are poor, down on their luck, and financially unsophisticated. Their business models take advantage of a borrower's inability to pay the loan in full when due and encourage extensions through refinancing. These refinances often include additional fees, resulting in borrowers paying annual rates of 800% or more. That's $4,000 in interest on a $500 loan. That's outrageous. The Arizona Republic reports that these lenders collect almost $100 million in fees and interest in Maricopa County each year. That's money that is being sucked out of our economy. That's money that's not being spent in Mesa's local shops and restaurants. The payday loan industry is bad for our community. Unfortunately, I believe the reason you are considering this ordinance tonight is because the legislature and our local representatives have left you in a lurch for 6 years. We need the legislature to ignore the lobbyists and bring payday loans back under Arizona's usury laws. I urge the council to not only pass this ordinance tonight, but also to lobby the legislature to do just that. I believe that would be a step in getting these payday loan problems solved. Lastly, I want to commend Vice Mayor Walters for her leadership on what is a very important issue for her constituents. Thank you.
Are there any other requests to speak on this item? Anyone else want to address the council? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close the public comment period on this and have some council discussion, and I'll entertain a motion if somebody wants to go on forward. Councilmember Griswold.
I've been one of the most outspoken critics of payday loans. I mean, the legislature created the monster with the 300% plus interest they allowed. That's where the solution lies. We can do tiny Band-Aids on things and put separations on there. All it does is, right, it makes whoever is here, their shop more valuable, and they make more money. But it sends a message. We can handle it local, city by city, but the legislature has said they're going to take this on this year and work on the problem. And the industry, it doesn't self-police itself. It's going to be hopefully pushed out of business in this state. I would be willing to look at a continuance and pass this if it doesn't get solved in the legislature this time. That's where it belongs. We can put a Band-Aid in an open wound, but it's not going to do anything except send a message. I'm willing to hold this over the industry's head and say every city's going to start putting small restriction steps that just, you know, drives them, makes business more difficult if they don't solve in legislature. So I would make a motion for a continuous on this, and if it doesn't get solved in legislature, bring it back, and I'll probably be even stronger than this one. But that would be my motion.
Okay. I have a motion and a second right now for approval. So
okay.
Why don't we address that motion first? And
I will do that one then for approval.
Okay. Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I've been pushing to bring this forward for some period of time. It's been more than a couple of months, I think. This does not solve the issue of the payday lenders, as a couple of the speakers have referenced. This is an issue that's going to have to be solved at the legislative level. But frankly, we've been down to the legislature. We have lobbied at the legislature. We have asked over and over again, and nothing has happened. And I am concerned that West Mesa in particular, but other parts of Mesa as well, have become the dumping grounds for these payday lenders. I recognized when we did the pawn shop ordinance that it would have the impact that it did. But I'll tell you, in terms of the feelings of people in West Mesa, it stopped the proliferation of pawn shops in West Mesa. I said the people who are going to be happiest at the end of the day here are the current pawn shop owners, because it made their pawn shops that much more valuable. I still believe that this is a step in the right direction in terms of having healthier neighborhoods, having a better business climate for other types of businesses that can help our neighborhoods to thrive and for people to do well in those neighborhoods. As a result, I am supportive of this. I am not willing to postpone a vote on it. We have had zero success at the legislature, and frankly, if they want to do something, they can do it, and we can repeal this later on. But if we sit on this, that's just that many more that can be approved while we're sitting and waiting. So I'm going to go ahead and vote in favor of this. I'm hoping that we can get 4 votes. I don't know if we've got them.
Councilmember Rawls.
Thank you, Mayor. Let's start with what we can do, and that is we are engaged here solely in land use regulation. We don't have the ability at this council to call these institutions illegal. We don't have the power to call them usurious. We don't have the power to call them anything except you're a legal business. They're a legal business in the state of Arizona. So I think we need to understand that. And I think everybody up here agrees with that. We don't like them. But until the legislature says you can't do it anymore, we're limited to land use regulations. And I agree with some of the comments made by the ladies over here about we have too many of them. Why do we have to have them on every corner? I don't understand why at the same corner, Nate, that you were talking about at Alma School and Guadalupe, we have to have 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 fast food restaurants. But that's what the market says goes there, and I'm not interested in having the government start tallying up how many individual businesses of individual kinds and saying, okay, we have enough. Once the government says, okay, we have enough Safeway stores, we have enough grocery stores, we have enough gas stations, we have enough Circle K's, you know, where does it end? You know, then you're going to be creating monopolies, you're going to be creating economic chaos, and that's not what this country starts with. So before I even get to all the other issues, I want people to understand the big reason that I object to this ordinance is that it is micromanagement by the government trying to decide how many businesses of a particular variety should or should not exist in a particular location. So that's the big picture. Everything after that is just gravy for me. But let me tell you what the gravy is. Because there are two arguments that have been advanced as to why these regulations and these restrictions should be in place. First one is that there's a perception that they lower the property values in the neighborhoods. I made this comment at the study session when we first considered this. And I indicated that there was no empirical evidence, and I asked staff whether there was any empirical evidence to support that perception, and the answer was no. Scott gave me some information. I read it. We talked about it later, and that information talked about the negative impacts of the predatory practices, but it didn't talk about that there was any empirical evidence that there was, in fact, a decline in property values in residences or anywhere else So there's no empirical evidence to support the perception that drives half of this engine. The second perception is that, well, because it's clustering, it creates a perception that other businesses will flee, other more legitimate, more desirable residences will flee because of the number of these stores. There's no empirical evidence to support that perception either. I don't think government ought to make decisions based upon smoke and mirrors, based upon unsubstantiated speculation and unsubstantiated perceptions. Okay? That's the second level. The third level is, if it's no empirical evidence that says that it lowers property values, and there's no empirical evidence that says that it drives away other legitimate businesses, and there's no reason for government to be involved in this kind of micromanagement of the economy, the question becomes, why is everybody so upset about these? And the answer, in my view, is because of the nature of the person who walks in and uses the service, the people who go to them. And the people who go to them primarily, at least in my district, are poor people and they are minorities. And I particularly object to any form of government policy or regulation that has as its justification, even if you don't admit it, even if it doesn't see the light of day, even if it remains hidden in the shadows, the fact is that people are worried about the people who use them. We don't want them, whoever them is, in our neighborhood. Well, folks, government shouldn't base policy on discrimination like that. And to me, that's what we're doing. Now, that's just level three, by the way. Okay? You got level one, level two before you even get there. You can disagree with me on that. But there's still two other good reasons why this is just plain wrong. I won't be a part of it. I don't want the Mesa City Council to be a part of it. You say, so everybody asks me, well, do you want more of them? No, I don't want more of them. I want the legislature to outlaw them where they should be. But am I going to sit down and decide, okay, we're not going to have any more of these? And by the way, Nate, I don't own that massage parlor. I just utilize it for my sciatica. And I don't know what you were implying, but that's all I get. And I enjoy it, and it helps, and I'm going to continue to use it. So Nate and I agree on a lot of things, and we disagree on this one. And so I'm just giving him a little bit. That I don't want anybody to think I own that massage parlor. Although I probably am one of their best customers, but I have to put up with a really severe sciatica problem during the rest of the week. So that's the price that I pay. But folks, that's why I'm voting against this ordinance, because I just don't want any one of those three things that I've described to be part of public policy in the city of Mesa. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, I have one question, though. Can I ask the question of staff?
Sure.
And Gordon, you can nod up and down. You don't have to get up. Section 1162 now has a how we're going to measure the 1,200-foot limitation language in it. And it says everything in this section is going to be measured this way, but this payday loan thing is the only one in here that has a footage separation. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're not going back on what we talked about earlier about having barriers and routes for other uses.
That particular definition.
You're going to have to come up to the mic.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
I wanted to make sure that if this passes, we're not adopting this definition of 1,200 feet for every other purpose in our code.
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, that particular definition of how to measure would only apply to that particular section as it's written now.
Right. And as I read it twice here, there's no other distance limitation in this particular section.
That's correct.
Okay, so it's just going to apply to this.
You want to explain the distance and the two ways of measuring it, just so everyone that might be watching or listening knows
what's going on? Typically speaking, the 1,200-foot separation is measured in a straight line. What this particular amendment would do would be to measure it in a straight line between the outside wall of the building to the outside wall of the building.
Okay. Where others, we had one that came through where there could be physical barriers or you'd have to walk all the way around the block. And
So, okay.
Correct. Yeah, if there's intervening features, sometimes we take that into account when we measure the 1,200 feet. This would not do that.
Okay. All right. Other comments? Councilmember Summers.
Thank you, Mayor. Tom, is that what you're calling the council now, sciatica? Out of curiosity?
Yes. Okay.
After the first vote with the ADA dial ride, I feel good about that one. I feel that my vote on this one, I'm not going to feel all that good about, because I don't like these either. I think they should be outlawed, sunsetted, banned. I think there's some questionable business practices, but Tom's right. They are legitimate, legal businesses in the state of Arizona. And even though I question their business practice, the fact of the matter remains that poor business practices are not solved by spacing. And I've heard some arguments, and some pretty good ones, about why we should space these things out. People go into debt. They borrow over and over again. But I was having a difficult time discerning whether we were talking about payday loans or credit cards. We're not banning credit cards. And they have a pretty high interest rate, too. And the fact that you can go from one store to the other and make loans, you could do the same thing with your credit card. We're not banning rent-to-own centers. Talk about sucking money out of the city. Rent-to-own centers for a 20-inch screen TV at Walmart, you're going to pay about $100. You go to a rent-to-own, it's $300. We're not doing anything about that. The title loans was brought up. We're not banning that either. But at least with the title loans, you have something tangible. The pawn shops, you have something tangible you're backing up your loan with. With a payday loan, you have nothing. You're going off your word. You're going off the fact you have a job and a pay stub. So we're not banning those. We're not banning those either. Losing money out of the city, absolutely. Sure, we're losing some money, but every time you click on eBay, the city's losing sales tax dollars too. Every time you use a credit card, we're losing sales tax dollars. Buy something online instead of going to Barnes & Noble, we lose sales tax dollars. It's not going to solve that problem much either. And for the fact that I really don't like these things, there is a fact that remains that borrowing money from these places, when your starter goes out in your car and you need $300 quick and you don't have it, it is better to borrow from these institutions than to bounce a check, certainly less expensive. And it's less expensive than going into credit card debt or overdrafting. And they fill a market niche that our traditional financial institutions have not been willing to fill. Short-term, 1 month or less loans. I would rather see banks and credit unions come in because they can educate consumers, they can encourage people to save money and to get legitimate loans and serve as an educational component as well as provide these short-term loans. But the fact of the matter remains, at least right now, they're really not willing to do that. I believe that our legislature needs to address this issue. And I hope that they have the opportunity to do that very soon. But there's nothing that's going to be solved by spreading these out. And there could be a negative externality. And that is that by spreading them out, by increasing, like this gentleman said, with his pawn shop, the value of his pawn shop went up. My fear is that the interest rate and the cost of borrowing money because we spread them out is going to go up. So these folks who are living lives of quiet desperation trying to borrow money, instead of paying $20 over a period of a month, they're going to spend $40 or $60. And we've just made the problem worse for them by trying to address an issue. And really, it's a cosmetic issue. It's a symptom. And this ordinance just isn't going to be effective in addressing the real problem, which is the business practices that are brought up. So I would be voting no on this issue. Thank you.
Okay. Any other council discussion? All right. I have a motion by Councilmember Walters, seconded by Councilmember Jones for approval. Would you please vote? The vote is 3 ayes and 4 nays, so it does not pass. Councilmember, let's see, I don't know if you can do that. I was going to say I could call on Councilmember Griswold, but he's on the aye side. Can you have to substitute another motion to be made? Can we consider it under this item, or do we, how does that work?
Mayor, if this motion passed, which it did not, you can entertain additional motions on this item.
Okay. All right. It did not, so it is defeated. Let's then go on over to 8H. And this is a zoning case Z06-69. It's in District 6. It's the 8200 block to 9200 block of East Pecos Road, north side, and the 9200 block to 10,000 block of East Pecos Road, south side, located north of Pecos Road, east and west of Ellsworth Road. It's 604.8 plus or minus acres. Rezoned from AG to M1 and C2. This request will change the zoning to light industrial and commercial uses. And we have the applicant, I believe, with us this evening. Neighborhood meetings were held. The recommendation from P&Z is approval with conditions and recommendation that a development agreement be considered. And that was a 6-0 recommendation. So I have a order of how we do this. Let me go ahead and read that through, and we will first hear from the applicant, and I believe Mr. Gilbert's representing the applicant, followed by the public, then staff, and then the city council. So Mr. Gilbert, are you the applicant on this one, please?
Thank you. My name is Paul Gilbert, 4800 North Scottsdale Road. I'm here on behalf of Paragon Properties, which is the applicant in connection with this application. I intend, Mayor, contrary to other presentations, to make this one mercifully short and succinct. We're here with the following. We have a positive recommendation from the planning staff. We have a unanimous recommendation of approval from your Planning Commission, and we are 100% consistent with your general plan. I submit that that should be all I would need to say. We're doing everything that comports with what you need us and want us to do. What we're proposing is complementary to the airport. It enhances the city's goals, develops employment uses, and basically we comply with all the things that we've been asked to do. We also point out that we are here without a site plan. I also wish to make the point that I think is rather cogent in this case, and that is that you have zoned other properties in the immediate area adjacent to us in one instance where you gave zoning consistent with the comprehensive general plan, without a site plan. So we're here in that posture. Now, I don't want to regale you with a long list of all the cases I've handled around Sky Harbor Airport, but I submit they're instructive in this instance. I don't believe I've ever zoned a case in Phoenix adjacent to or in the vicinity of Sky Harbor Airport where I had a site plan. Their policy has been and consistently continues to be, if you come in and ask for uses that are consistent with their general plan that is primarily industrial and employment, which is what this case is, the zoning is granted. So we believe that what we're doing is consistent with your past practices. It's obviously consistent with your general plan amendment. Now, I'm between a rock and a hard spot because I cheerfully agreed that at the Planning Commission that if they wanted to recommend a development agreement be entered into, that we would be willing to do so. I have my own free will and volition, so there's no question that I'm here without being forced in any way. I've agreed to do that, and we reiterate that agreement before you here this evening. The problem is that if you agree to a stipulation that requires me to do a development agreement, as I understand your ordinance, you cannot approve that this evening. I will be cheerfully willing to be proven wrong by your city attorney. If that's the case, then makes my job much easier this evening. I will tell you that we are willing to enter into a development agreement. The concern that was expressed at the Planning Commission hearing were the uses in the C2 portion of the application. As you, I'm sorry, Mayor, that light has blinded me temporarily.
We try not to look up from here at the same time. Gosh,
that is awful.
Yeah. Makes you look good on TV.
I'm too old for this. This is right. My eyes aren't adjusting. All right.
Take your time.
I'm hoping this shows up there. The C2 part of the application are these two parcels right here. Are at the intersection of the proposed realignment of Ellsworth Road and Pecos Road. Okay? Again, I don't want to beat this to death, but that's exactly what your general plan calls for. So we're doing exactly what your general plan says. The concern was that there could be some uses there that may not be considered compatible with the airport. So let me address that, because I think that's the issue that's before us this evening. And furthermore, John Wesley has told you that the applicant and the staff are in basic conceptual agreement with what ought to go in that development agreement if one were to reach fruition. So there's no misunderstanding. Let me state that on the record. Those issues are as follows. One, no hospitals. Two, no congregate care or overnight care. Three, that we agree on the location of Haas Road. You have a letter in your file, and Haas Road's very important to the city, but you have a letter in your file that basically talks about the beginning point and ending point for Haas Road. How that road exactly configures has to be worked out, but we're in agreement with the starting point and the beginning point, so the city has that assurance. John, have I left anything else that we talked about? Oh, I'm sorry. And we also have agreed to put in that development agreement the incorporation of stipulations. In fact, we can put them all in if you'd like. We have no problem with doing that. But the specific ones we've been asked to incorporate in the development agreement are 5, 6, 9, and 10. So we're in agreement with doing that as well. With that, I believe those were the concerns that were raised, and we are willing to enter into a development agreement which basically commits the developer of this property, and remember, development agreement runs with the land, to develop the property with these restrictions in place. One other major thing that you get tonight, and that is stipulation 4, with which we have agreed, states that we will dedicate either at the time of development or at the time of the city's request for dedication, whichever comes first, the roadway system that the city needs for the airport. You don't have that now. So we believe that we're here in a posture tonight with a strong recommendation of approval from every reviewing agency that is charged with giving you advice on this subject matter. And we have also agreed that we will enter into a development agreement should you see fit to approve this case this evening. I'd be happy to answer any other questions that you might have.
Okay. Questions on this one? Tom?
I have a question for John rather than Paul. Has the staff and the applicant reached that level of conceptual understanding as described by Mr. Gilbert?
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, we have had a meeting with them and gone through the stipulations and come up with the list that Mr. Gilbert has explained as the key items that we believe ought to be included in the development agreement. We have not seen anything back yet in terms of a draft review, how that's progressing.
Right, and part of the problem here is the timing issue more than okay, that's why I just wanted, again, I wanted staff to confirm what Mr. Gilbert might say. We might trust him up here, but the general audience and the television audience might not know him as well as we do. because he promises to be very short and never is.
For me, this was short tonight. Remember, I'm paid by the word, so it's hard to...
May I ask you, Paul, I'm assuming that, unfortunately, as the lawyer, you don't have the power to sign the development agreement. Have you discussed the conceptual agreement that has been reached with the staff, with your client, and as your client prepared to make the same commitment that you are, that you will, in fact, execute the development agreement once it is reduced to writing and prepared for signature?
Yes, I have discussed that with my client. He is here sitting here this evening. Let me turn and make sure I have accurately stated your commitment.
By the word, yes.
Thank you.
You agree.
Thank you.
That, by the way, was Michael Blennis, who is a principal of Paragon.
We want a legal explanation of getting the development with part of the zoning case versus not.
Thank you, Mayor. One of the concerns that the city would have is that the development agreement would be with Mr. Gilbert's clients. However, they currently do not own the property. So it is in escrow, is my understanding, but they do not currently own the property. So we enter into a development agreement, and if the deal is not completed, then the zoning goes through and there's no development agreement. Secondly, although we have talked about the concept of a development agreement and the terms that would be agreed to, there's been no detailed discussions with Mr. Gilbert regarding this development agreement. So although we can agree to agree, we all know that that is much more difficult than just stating that. So we can say we're going to have a development agreement, but there would be no guarantees as to the terms. And if the parties reached a good faith dispute where an agreement could not be reached, we may have trouble or difficulty reverting the zoning again at that point. So staff's recommendation and from the city attorney's office is that we go forward and continue the zoning case and we pursue a development agreement. We've been waiting for Mr. Gilbert to send us a draft and we'll move as quickly as we can after we receive that draft.
You want to clarify a little bit because I think you made the statement that they do not own the property. I would assume that it's an escrow and they're moving forward to change the zoning subject to an escrow instruction, so they've been somewhat authorized to move forward on the zoning. It's not at the current landowner's objection.
And, Mayor, I assume that to be true, but I haven't seen any documents regard to that.
All right. Mr. Brady.
I would be very willing to avow to you, Mayor, and members of the council that we do have the authority to enter into the development agreement, and frankly, if this zoning is approved, we will very shortly be the owners of the property. We own outright over half of it now, so it's basically the other half. But those owners were represented at the Planning Commission hearing, know full well of the representation that we're making to the mayor and council this evening and going forward. I might add that it is true we have not entered into a development agreement. It's a very interesting case of which comes first, the chicken or the egg. I don't have authority to enter into a development agreement unless I know I've got the zoning. Without the zoning, I can enter into the development agreement and have no authority to do so.
Brady.
And Mayor, I think that's our biggest concern is that we don't have any reason to suggest that the representations tonight won't be fulfilled, but it has put the staff in a very difficult position. Our chicken and the egg is the fact that once zoning is approved, then it's going to be more difficult for us to ensure that the development agreement reflects the terms that are being represented here today. At this point, even since the Planning Commission meeting met and under which these stipulations were discussed, we haven't even received a draft. I think if we felt like we had a draft in hand, that we would certainly be in a position to suggest that there is more than just a verbal representation, that the city attorney's office has had a draft to review. But at this point, we haven't had even that opportunity. So that's why we're in a position of not recommending against, although we're very, very pleased with the verbal representations. And I guess ultimately, if council is comfortable, that those will be sufficient and that we will not have any difficulties in the final outcome of the drafting of the agreement, then we'll be okay. But that, we're just in a position that we don't have anything in front of us today, even in a draft form, to suggest that this is the way we should go.
Okay. Paul?
Excuse me, Vice Mayor.
Do you want to go first? All right, go ahead.
Thank you. Questions probably for Mr. Gilbert and the city attorney. If we proceed with the zoning and they do not come in with the development agreement, what's to prevent us from introducing a rezoning, rescinding this? Also, what's the timeline? Once the zoning, I know certain things that we pass, it's within 30 days. With zoning, is it immediate? What's the timeline on that?
All ordinances have a 30-day delay. So if it's adopted tonight, it becomes effective 30 days from now.
So within 30 days, we could do something to rescind this?
You could, or
theoretically?
Absolutely.
Do a reconsideration?
You could do a reconsideration, and if we don't do the development agreement, I'll be here asking you to reconsider it and not adopt the zoning.
There is some uncertainty in the law because you adopt an ordinance, although it's not effective. There's some question in the law that repealing it is possibly not effective, and you need to adopt another ordinance, which would then say, okay, then we're 30 days out from then. We could certainly take some action to repeal it or amend it and rezone it again. However, Vice Mayor, what my only caution to you is that may require that we go back to planning and zoning. We would have to set up all of the public hearings again that we do for all zoning cases. That's if we are not able to repeal this particular ordinance or reconsider this ordinance.
Well, I think we could. I can't speak legally on this, but it seems to me that a reconsideration should be allowed within the 30 days. And if it's not, I'm not sure why it would have to go back through planning and zoning and everything else. It's already been through that. And if we set those stipulations in place tonight, I think we've set the stipulations in place. I feel like we're in that place that we've been before with that law I've quoted that my husband told me was on the books years ago in Kansas, that when two trains approach an intersection, both shall stop and neither shall proceed until the other has passed. And I feel like that's where we are. That we can't move until you move, but you can't move until we move. And so I'm just trying to find a way that we can protect the city's interest here.
I'm sorry. My only comment, Vice Mayor, was also going to be to point out that on the current ordinance, there is not a requirement for a development agreement. So although there's a verbal representation, there's not in the stipulations at this point.
I'm aware of that. You'll recall that the recommendation to you of the Planning Commission was that you consider a development agreement. We actually have drafted a development agreement. If you pass this evening, that will be on City Attorney's desk tomorrow. We've done it. But we didn't know how far this was going to go. And remember, that Planning Commission recommendation was give consideration to it. This is an awfully difficult thing for us because we need the zoning to close the escrow. We need the zoning to proceed. You need the zoning in place to help market the property. We're attending a meeting on the 25th, I think, working with your airport authority to join with them in marketing the property. Right now, you've got a couple of problems with this property. One, it's a piecemeal property, so you don't have an opportunity to have a comprehensive plan to adopt it. Two, Haas Road is a crucial element for you, and we're agreeing to give you Haas Road right where you want it. If this isn't adopted tonight, that evaporates. And Mayor, I'm not threatening. I'm just being candid as to what's going on here.
I thought it was required, the dedication under City of Mesa Code. So we have another issue with that. That's what Stipulation 4 says.
No, but if that's my point. Stipulation 4 says we'll do it. Well, but if the zoning isn't adopted, Stipulation 4 doesn't exist anymore.
I'm not sure that's – I have to research that one, too. I think you have to dedicate arterials and half-mile arterials as part of our transportation.
No.
Jack, Mayor, I'd suggest it wouldn't. It may not be now, but it'll be later. You know, when somebody wants to develop that.
It's a question of timing. You can't force a landowner to dedicate land.
No, I understand that. But you're not going to get away without dedicating it.
No. All I'm saying is, We don't, normally one doesn't dedicate till you come in and actually have a development or a subdivision.
Okay.
And we're agreeing that, if you need it before then, we'll dedicate it.
Okay. Yeah. I don't see that as a huge benefit, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Yes. Tom.
I just want to ask Debbie in a minute. We've talked before at the council with you about how quickly a motion for reconsideration must be brought. And isn't that a two-week time frame?
It is, Councilmember Rawls. And I guess I should have referenced that with Vice Mayor. But there is some question in the law with regarding ordinances, whether you have to wait until they are effective and then amend them versus repealing them before they become effective.
Well, would a motion for reconsideration really be a repeal of an ordinance? Wouldn't it just basically be when we never pass the ordinance? It's almost ab initio.
That would be the argument that we can, in fact, do a motion for reconsideration on the ordinance.
Right. Well, it seems to me if you move to reconsider, you're basically saying the action that we took before is gone. We're not repealing what we did before. We're erasing it from human history. Sort of.
Correct, yes.
Perhaps we can, Councilmember Rawls, I don't disagree with you, and that would certainly be the position put forward if ever challenged. I don't know if Mr. Gilbert has any thoughts on that and whether he would challenge that if it came to that issue.
I absolutely would not. I'm in favor of it. I mean, I can't afford to stand here and tell you that we'll do a development agreement and that your right to reconsideration is intact if we don't, because this isn't my, hopefully, last case I bring before you. So I would not challenge that.
And again, Mayor, if I can continue, I think what we're hearing is, and I think that Ms. Spinner brings up a good point, there's always the opportunity or the possibility of having a good faith dispute that prohibits one party or the other from entering into the agreement. I mean, that's just the way life is. You can go in with the best of intentions and you get hung up on something. But in this case, it seems to me that if we were to, I'm just thinking out loud here, if we were to pass this tonight, and then could we then immediately notice this for reconsideration on November 6th? And if on November 6th, which is two weeks from now,
three weeks from now.
Oh, it is, because we got the odd October, don't we?
You'd have to call
Could we do a special, post a special meeting for 8 o'clock in the morning on the 30th? And then if there isn't sufficient progress made on the development agreement, or if it doesn't look like it's going to happen, we could get a status report and then move on the motion to reconsider.
I'm sorry, did I ask a question?
Because there's something missing here, Paul, and I don't want to get real technical with you, but why can't we do a two-week continuance? You haven't explained that. Why is time so much of the essence between now and... I understand that, but I mean, does escrow fall out if it isn't closed by November 6th? Are there penalties? I mean, tell us why this is important.
I'm not ignoring you, Mr. Rawls.
No, I understand that. Hey, when a client talks, you listen.
I wish that was always the case.
With me, it is.